from the birthplace of radio's greatest era. Now, from New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough. Unlike anything else on radio today, it's a front row seat for great information with today's leading experts. The millionaire maker, Hillary Kramer. Travel with Valerie Delia. Nicole Sapphire, MD, senior medical contributor to Fox News Channel and physician at Memorial Sloan Kettering Medical Center. Legal expertise by Arthur Idala, attorney to the stars. And Christine Nicholas, the quintessential heartbeat of New York hospitality. All joining legendary broadcast pro Kevin McCullough on a mission unlike any other. United to bring back New York. And now, live from Studio 111, here's Kevin McCullough.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. Welcome to Wellness Night, one of our favorites here at Radio Night Live, because we are doing a lot of good. In fact... I have been told by people who listen that we have provided more usable information as it pertains to COVID-19 and to the general malaise of the pandemic and everything else that's going on health-wise than any other radio outlet in America on this Wednesday night edition. So I'm very honored, very thankful that such nice things have been said, and glad to be back tonight. Now, we've got a big show for you tonight, because not one, but two of the Fox News Medical All-Stars are going to be joining us. Dr. Marty McCary will break down some of the latest COVID, I don't know what to call it anymore, propaganda, narrative. What do you want to, you can't call it all science. Because sometimes the stuff that even the public health officials have put out there has not been based on the science. And Dr. McCary and Dr. Sapphire and Dr. Siegel have all explained that to us. There was some good news that came out this week. On more than one news outlet, you had multiple public health experts, quote unquote, citing that the Delta variant is in severe decline and should be gone by Thanksgiving, because the numbers for the Delta variant are continuing to drop. In fact, you may have remembered just a couple of weeks ago, people were just hammering Florida. You know, their numbers have gone into steep decline, and the numbers that were looking bad weren't necessarily the death numbers, but actually more along the lines of the new infection numbers. But you know what Governor DeSantis did? He got the plasma treatment approved and found sources for it, even after the Biden administration cut him off. And he got other things into the state and made it possible for doctors and patients all to approach this thing with a much higher degree of reliability. And what's been the result? Well, now a plunge in the new infection rate there. So that's good news. And for us in the tri-state here, and I've been tracking this since the beginning of the Delta variant. You go back to my Instagram page at KMC Radio. You will see that on a regular basis, I have posted how many on a normal given year, how many heart disease deaths, how many cancer deaths, and how many hospital infection deaths. Those are deaths that are caused by people who got an infection in a hospital that they did not have when they checked themselves in. It's the third largest cause of death in the country right now, behind heart disease and cancer. The whole time during the Delta variant process, our numbers for COVID didn't even equate to many times half of what a given day's deaths would be for cancer or for heart disease or for hospital infections by themselves, much less those three categories combined. So the idea that, you know, we were about to slide off the edge of the world into COVID madness, I'm not sure that that was the case. I know the Delta variant was tough. I know that for portions of the country that had not had, the original variant hit them the way the Delta variant did, it certainly rocked some of them. But it seems like, according to these public health experts, that we may see kind of the diminishing role of Delta as it comes into the Thanksgiving holiday. And that's good news for everybody. Besides Dr. McCary tonight, we're also going to have Dr. Nicole Sapphire stop in. You know, she's the OG of the Radio Night Live alumni here. And she's done such a great job and tried to balance all these different things at the same time. And she's going to talk to us tonight, not about COVID, which is the topic of her newest book, Panic Attack. But instead, she's going to talk to us about her day job. which is as a radiological oncologist. She does imaging for primarily breast cancer patients, some other forms of radiology as well, but primarily breast cancer patients, and kind of what the state of breast cancer is in America right now. And that brings me to this story that I found earlier today, which is very good news. There's a new cutting-edge breast cancer procedure that may in fact save thousands of women without surgery. This is from the News 12 out of the Bronx. Innovative breast cancer treatment is showing promise in low-risk tumor patients and is giving thousands of women an alternative to surgery. It's called cryoablation, and it's less invasive, uses a sub-zero temperature. It takes the place of surgery. It entails a nick of the skin, a flash of cold, and lasts less than an hour. But for many women, it may be a cure for breast cancer. This is what Dr. Kenneth Tomkovich of Centra State Medical Center had to say about it. He said it uses a probe that uses liquid nitrogen to super freeze the probe. Nothing's injected in the patients, and it creates an ice ball inside the patient that actually kills the tumor. But it is not appropriate for all women, only those with certain types of less aggressive early stage cancers. Tomkovich has performed the procedure some 20 times in the last 7 years, but it is now on the way to FDA, full FDA approval. And when it does become fully FDA approved, this is going to become, Mr. Tomkovich thinks, a very prominent treatment for breast cancer. Muriel Smith was 79 years old when she became one of the doctor's first patients after she was diagnosed with a tumor. She said that they gave me the option. They told me it's a new thing that the doctor was doing. And they then also told me that I could have surgery. She said the choice was real, real easy. Go under the knife and have, you know, parts of my body cut on, or do we do the freezing of the tumor and the killing of the tumor from internally with this liquid nitrogen? She also liked the fact that no chemicals are used and that she was awake during the procedure. The tumor froze its way out, so then it was gone, and that's the end of the story, and I could see it shrivel up and go away. I had nothing to lose except the tumor. If it didn't work, I could always have the surgery. Cryoablation is approved by the FDA's Institutional Review Board and is awaiting full approval momentarily. And it seems to be pretty cost-effective as well. Now, I know from my own mom's experience, the hospital treatment and the chemo and the radiation and everything else that she went through, you know, in the 1980s when she was diagnosed, got to be quite expensive. This cryoablation procedure is about $5,000 for the thing in total. Including all the follow-up. So Dr. Tomkovich says he anticipates full FDA approval next year and that insurance will probably cover the cost. Both he and Muriel Smith, his patients, say that frequent checkups and yearly mammograms are critical in leading a healthy life. I have a feeling that Nicole Sapphire may say the same thing when she joins us a little bit later, so I hope that you'll stick around. It is the wellness edition of Radio Night Live here on this Wednesday, and we are so glad you're with us. Dr. Marty McCary joins me next. Stay here.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Hi, I'm Kevin McCullough. There are people that live in all kinds of circumstances, and sometimes the houses we have or the homes that we have inherited or can't seem to service anymore, they become bigger headaches than they're worth. That's why my good friends Sean and George at Swift Homebuyers are ready to help you now. They'll pay cash for your house. It doesn't matter what kind it is. Could be vacant, could be left over from a divorce, a junk house that needs thousands in repairs. They'll buy a house in any condition at any price. Cash for probate, inherited houses, houses where you have renters that won't pay their rent. Sean and George and Swift Homebuyers are Christians, and they are a family-owned real estate business. Call them today and find out what you can get from them for your house that's given you this headache. 732-800-4020. They'll buy houses in any condition, and they'll pay cash. Kevin McCullough, I trust Swift Homebuyers to get the cash out of your home that you need. I think you should give them a call. 732-800-4020. That's 732-800-4020.
This is Hugh Hewitt for townhall.com. The Republicans want no part of a debt ceiling hike, and good for them. Democrats wanted the White House. They got it. Democrats wanted to keep the House in 2020. Speaker Pelosi got her wish. Barely. Democrats wanted the Senate majority. Now Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has it. Democrats have all they need to bring up their giant spending bill to the floor, including massive tax hikes and a debt ceiling increase attached. The nation is out of borrowing authority, so Congress must either pass a hike in the debt authority, pass a standalone bill as part of a stopgap measure, or as part of the massive spending and tax bill. The last option won't require any GOP votes, but it would require Democrats to get an agreement among themselves on which taxes to raise, how much to spend, when to spend it, and on who. The Republicans should have no part of this inflationary giant boondoggle. Republicans need to have message discipline. Just say no.
publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu.
As you know, our friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop. My Slippers are designed to wear indoor and out all day long, made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 50% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you'll want to get some for the whole family. 800-651-0798. Use that promo code JOEP or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use the promo code JOEP. You will also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. 800-651-0798. Promo code JOEP.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
The events in Afghanistan have reminded us of something we already knew. Elections do matter. They have consequences. If you don't like the images you see on TV, it's too late to change it. But it's not too late to get America back. And we have too much at stake to give up now. That's why you're here, listening to us and learning what you need to know. Don't give up now. The battle for America's soul is just getting started. And we need you here. AM 970, The Answer.
Our hosts all look like GQ models. See them now at AM970TheAnswer.com.
And now, from New York, back to Radio Night Live, here's Kevin McCullough.
All right, Kevin McCullough, as promised, we are getting a double dose of the Fox News Medical All-Stars tonight, because coming up a bit later, Nicole Sapphire, the OG of this segment, she is coming back to talk breast cancer awareness, as it is October, and it's very important that you get your mammogram and that you be aware of what your body's doing. Can't emphasize that enough, particularly in light of the fact that almost every single newscast that's on the air anywhere right now is obsessed with only one medical concern, and that's COVID-19. Today, Mayor Bill de Blasio mandated that COVID-19 vaccinations will be required for the entire city workforce, and he is not allowing a testing option for those that need exemptions. Here to discuss is none other than Marty McCary, who is with us on a semi-regular basis here on Radio Night Live with our Wellness Night. Dr. McCary, I always appreciate, Marty, if I can, I always appreciate you being with us. But I heard the story this morning of the mayor announcing this, and it seems to me that when we say vaccine only and we don't acknowledge other ways of checking on people's health, we are not only violating constitutional standards, but I think we're violating dignity and humanity standards when it comes to people having sovereignty over their own body and their own choice. I'm curious how you see that, being a, you know, a respected physician like you are.
Well, there's a couple problems with the vaccine mandates
First of all, the government doesn't do mandates well. They ignore a lot of the science of vaccines and the immune system, like natural immunity. So they've disenfranchised or exposed to risks people who are already immune. That's one problem. The other is they've hardened people because people have a strong sense of personal liberty in this country. And when you use the lever of a forced vaccine in society, something you really don't want to pull that lever too often. I mean, that's a fire alarm. We as doctors want to use that very carefully. Right now, we're using it for very low-risk people, and we're using it in areas where there's very low levels of infection. We're going to harden people, and this could backfire and hurt us in the future.
But, Marty, let me ask you this. When Europe was on the verge of, you know, getting the vaccine and so forth, they figured out from the beginning that if you did testing and allowed people to know if they had antibodies and you, you know, you could produce evidence that you had recently recovered, et cetera, that it just made sense for their populations. We're supposed to be the beacon of freedom. We're supposed to be the beacon of personal control of our own bodies. My body, my choice, as I've had so many of my far-left advocates for abortion remind me on regular bases. But this is like literally taking my choice away on something that we've only had in existence for a little over a year. I mean, this is not, you know, it doesn't have decades of you know, study behind it. Certainly we've had a lot of injections go into people, and it looks like the vaccines are very, very copacetic. But at the end of the day, I can't make someone else feel safe. They can only do that for themselves.
Well, I agree with everything you said, but one thing is we've lost something even bigger in our society through this issue, and that is civility. We no longer respect one another. We've got family members and not speaking to each other. We've got doctors engaging in tribalism and a modern-day McCarthyism. It's like the Salem witch trials. If you say anything that the dosing regimen needs to be modified or kids who have natural immunity don't need it, it's like the Salem witch trials right now within the medical profession. We've corrupted the actual scientific field of medicine, and that concerns me far greater than what's happening right now, because when you lose civility, you lose objectivity, and we've lost it. Look at Dr. Fauci when he saw the data on boosters in Israel. He immediately proclaimed that this was quote-unquote dramatic data. And I agree, it was impressive data. But the data came out of the same Ministry of Health showing that natural immunity was 27 times better than vaccinated immunity.
Right.
Silence. And that's the cherry-picking that is the dishonesty of the politicalization of medicine.
Why do you think that is the case, Marty? What's the end game? Why are public health officials whom we assume, we're supposed to assume as the, you know, the plebs of society, we're supposed to assume that these people are not only skilled at what they do, but that they are looking out for the interest of everyday Americans. And yet our top guys at NIH and Dr. Fauci's offices all the way through the pandemic not only got their messaging wires crisscrossed regularly, you know, pro-mask, against mask, you know, the administration campaigned against the vaccine. Now they're having trouble getting people to take the vaccines. But we lost confidence when we saw that inconsistency. How do we get that back?
Well, I can tell you there's two types of doctors in America. Those who are intellectually honest and they take care of patients, and they don't have a political allegiance that dictates how they interpret science. That's the vast majority of good doctors in America. The other type of doctor is one that is basically a politician with an MD behind their name, who's appointed by a political administration to be a loyal subject, does not speak out of line. When schools are shut down in public schools for a year, they don't step out of line. They stick with the party message. That's how politics runs. It's not how medicine runs. And I think people need to distinguish what's a political message and what's a medical message. For example, there's been a massive suppression of any research to try to look at therapeutics. We have amazing therapeutics. Even the antidepressant fluvoxamine has been shown to reduce severe illness. Simple hypertonic nasal spray Nobody becomes a billionaire on Wall Street when we use more saline nasal sprays. Molnupiravir, the Merck drug, reduced deaths to zero. Why didn't Colin Powell get it? Why aren't people getting on a compassionate use basis? There's been this effort to only focus on vaccines and not other therapeutics. And final point, natural immunity. My research team at Johns Hopkins is doing one of the biggest studies of longitudinal natural immunity ever done. Why did I have to do this study? The NIH has $42 billion. Why can't they do the study?
No, that is a question worth asking. But, Dr. McCary, we are very glad that your team is doing that study. Stay with us. I want to come back with you for just six more minutes. It's Radio Night Live. Dr. Marty McCary is our guest. And if you do not already have his book, The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare and How to Fix It, you need to get over to Amazon and get a copy. You'll be glad you did. You can also follow him on Twitter at Marty McCary, MartyMacary. And, you, of course, you see him on Fox News and the medical all-star team there talking about medical issues of the day, which largely has been COVID in the last year or so. Kevin McCullough coming right back. Radio Night Live. Don't go away.
Want to listen to AM 970 The Answer on the go? There's an app for that. Download our free smartphone app so you can listen to all your favorite shows, keep up with us on social media, enter contests, win prizes, and even interact with our hosts all in one place. Just search AM 970 The Answer in the iPhone App Store or the Google Play Store for the Android. Again, search AM 970 The Answer and download our smartphone app today. That way, you can take us wherever you go.
Charlie Kirk believes we're seeing the decline of America.
Right now, there are hundreds of people that run your country, run our military, run our government, that are kind of like, what's the big deal if we lose? Who cares if it's humiliating? What's important is whether or not we get paid. What's important is whether or not my child goes to Harvard. I mean, we do that all the time. That's all we've done is lose over the last 30 years. And we get promoted while doing it.
The Charlie Kirk Podcast, available on SalemPodcastNetwork.com and everywhere podcasts are heard.
Want to listen to AM 970 The Answer on the go? There's an app for that. Download our free smartphone app so you can listen to all your favorite shows, keep up with us on social media, enter contests, win prizes, and even interact with our hosts all in one place. Just search AM 970 The Answer in the iPhone App Store or the Google Play Store for the Android. Again, search AM 970 The Answer and download our smartphone app today. That way, you can take us wherever you go.
Dinesh D'Souza can teach you a thing or two.
They're just chanting death to America, but they seem friendly at the same time.
Where have we heard that before? Well, the first time I really heard it was during the hostage crisis. Remember? Jimmy Carter, in which this superpower, America, is just being humiliated day after day after day. Well, those days are here again.
The Dinesh D'Souza Podcast, available on SalemPodcastNetwork.com and everywhere podcasts are heard.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
The Ben Shapiro Show, weekdays at 5 p.m. and 9 p.m. on AM 970, The Answer. And now, back to Radio Night Live from New York. Here's Kevin McCullough.
And in my very next segment coming up, Dr. Nicole Sapphire will be back. It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and she's got some good reminders for us. I hope that you'll stick around for the full show tonight. Dr. Marty McCary is my guest, the author of the book, The Price We Pay. He's, of course, is a professor and public health researcher at Johns Hopkins and doing a great job when I see him on Fox News talking about the major issues of the day. Marty, let me ask you this. The FDA this week is slated to say that the J&J and the Moderna boosters are okay to go. At least that's the anticipation. There's also speculation that they're going to say that you can get a Moderna booster or a Pfizer booster if you had the J&J shot originally. Now, I'm curious if you've looked at any of the data or you've seen any of the information, why that is significant. I mean, I know that the vaccines are different. I know that the technology inside those vaccines are different, but do you think that the FDA is on the right track here? What's your take on the announcements they're expected to make this week?
Yeah, so on the mixing and matching of vaccines, I think they are on the right track. They're about 6 months late to the party, but we've always suspected that if you have different vaccines making a slightly different version of the spike protein, you get a more diverse antibody response. You get more different types of antibodies, and that might be as good or even a hair better, and that's what the data showed. And on the boosters, look, if you're high risk, basically another round of getting the vaccines, call it a booster, or I even call it a second dose, because the first two doses were too close together. The Moderna and Pfizer doses being 3 and 4 weeks apart, that no vaccine is given that close together. Why do you think a quarter of America is in bed for a day after the second dose? It was too close together. They should have been spaced out at 3 months. Now, I get it. It was with good intentions. They didn't know, and they wanted to get the trial done quickly last year. That's why they put those first two close together. But space them out at 3 months. Otherwise, your first two doses count sort of as one primer dose. And if you're high risk, you want to get a second dose at 6 months or so.
What's the latest on what we know about how the vaccines are holding up?
Yeah, the Pfizer is waning, mostly against just mild breakthrough infections. But there is some waning against severe illness. So at 6 months after your Pfizer vaccine, your risk of something severe is about 1 in 2,000. Now, you can cut that down to about 1 in 20,000 with a booster. And for people high risk or medical conditions, that's where we recommend it.
I forget the name of the official, but he appeared on CNBC a couple of days ago. He anticipates that it will have run its course on or before Thanksgiving. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, well, you may be referring to Dr. Scott Gottlieb, somebody I'm friends with and respect. He has put out there that Delta will probably be the last final big wave, and it will burn through the population quickly. We're seeing that, exactly what he predicted. We're down almost 40 to 50% off our peak with Delta. And, you know, you don't want people getting it on the one-yard line, so I would say if you're not immune, still go out there and get the vaccine. But we are moving to a good place. The question is, what's the endemic phase going to look like? That is where it's just common and everywhere. We're going to have to learn to live with this for decades to come. And that may mean that we see infections that don't really result in hospitalizations. And if we can see infections limited to positive test results or mild common cold-like flu symptoms and rare severe cases, that's what we're going to have to learn to live with. And it doesn't mean we put masks on kids from age 2 until college graduation. Wow. It means we figure out a way to live with this.
At this time in 2020, college football shut down. Most pro sports were shut down. Nervous, nibbling on the knuckles to see, you know, what's going to happen. But this year, everything's opened up, and what you would think would have been a super spreader has not turned into that. Are we seeing herd immunity in action, or is there such a thing as herd immunity that's going to be affected from COVID-19?
Yeah, you know, we've had herd immunity among healthcare workers really since March of this year. We've seen it in nursing homes early on. So you do see that sort of effect of a protective effect of most people having immunity in different segments. I will say this on the restrictions. They're too blanket. Everything is a one-size-fits-all. And the reality is everyone's got to assess their own individual risk, and it's going to be different for Colin Powell than it will be for a young, healthy 20-year-old going to a football game. I think the election for the governor race in Virginia is going to have a big impact on COVID policy nationally. A lot of people in basically a blue state are saying, look, we want someone who's reasonable about this. We don't want someone who's restrictive and overuses the power of government with excessive policies.
Yeah.
So we're seeing this tremendous momentum right now to elect Glenn Youngkin in Virginia. And I think if he gets elected, it'll do a lot to get to a more reasonable policy nationwide on COVID. I've personally met with him, and I don't endorse candidates, and I generally stay out of politics, but he is one of the smartest people I've ever met.
Good to know. Dr. McCary, thank you again for your time and for joining us tonight.
Okay, thanks, Kevin.
Kevin McCullough, coming right back. Don't go away.
Hi, it's Joe Piscopo. You know, we all got to stay calm with our busy schedules. And Invite Health's Tranquil TX gives you just that. Tranquil TX is a delicious liquid beverage enhancer made with chamomile, passion flower, and lemon balm to create a sense of calm. When you're stressed, just add a dropper full of Tranquil TX to your favorite beverage. Get this. Tranquil TX has zero carbs, zero sugars, zero alcohol, and just 2 calories per serving. Right now, buy one bottle of Tranquil TX, get the second bottle free. Double up, that's 4 bottles. You get free shipping. Contact Invite Health at 800-694-2345. 800-694-2345. That's 800-694-2345 for Tranquil TX. 800-694-2345. Don't forget to ask about their other herbal tinctures like Green Tea TX for more easy and fun ways to give your nutrition a boost. Invite Health. Get healthy. Stay healthy.
This is Hugh Hewitt for townhall.com. The Republicans want no part of a debt ceiling hike, and good for them. Democrats wanted the White House. They got it. Democrats wanted to keep the House in 2020. Speaker Pelosi got her wish. Barely. Democrats wanted the Senate majority. Now Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has it. Democrats have all they need to bring up their giant spending bill to the floor, including massive tax hikes and a debt ceiling increase attached. The nation is out of borrowing authority, so Congress must either pass a hike in the debt authority, pass a standalone bill as part of a stopgap measure, or as part of the massive spending and tax bill. The last option won't require any GOP votes, but it would require Democrats to get an agreement among themselves on which taxes to raise, how much to spend, when to spend it, and on who. The Republicans should have no part of this inflationary giant boondoggle. Republicans need to have message discipline. Just say no.
publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or odyssey.com.
Dennis Prager explains the left's stance on the border.
A wall blocks people from coming in. It maintains the ability of a society to grow much more naturally. How many people can we take in? Answer, as many as it takes to keep the Democrats in power forever. That is the only criterion.
The Dennis Prager Show. Weekdays at 1, right before Sebastian Gorka at 3 on AM 970. The Answer.
Want to listen to AM 970 The Answer on the go? There's an app for that. Download our free smartphone app so you can listen to all your favorite shows, keep up with us on social media, enter contests, win prizes, and even interact with our hosts all in one place. Just search AM 970 The Answer in the iPhone App Store or the Google Play Store for the Android. Again, search AM 970 The Answer and download our smartphone app today. That way, you can take us wherever you go.
Dinesh D'Souza can teach you a thing or two.
They're just chanting death to America, but they seem friendly at the same time.
Where have we heard that before? Well, the first time I really heard it was during the hostage crisis. Remember? Jimmy Carter, in which this superpower, America, is just being humiliated day after day after day. Well, those days are here again.
The Dinesh D'Souza Podcast, available on SalemPodcastNetwork.com and everywhere podcasts are heard. Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough, tonight at 7.
Everybody loves my baby, but my baby don't love nobody but me. No one but me.
And now back to Radio Night Live. Once again, Kevin McCullough.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to be with you on Wellness Night here on Radio Night Live. And the OG, Dr. Nicole Sapphire herself, back in the house. And Nicole, I'm going to blow your mind tonight. I'm not going to ask you about COVID. I know that you never get to talk about COVID, so I know you're probably missing that on some level. But for people that have not been with us all the way through, remind us what your day job is.
Well, good evening. I'm so happy to be on. So it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And while people may know me as someone who talks about COVID all day, every day, if you're ever watching TV or listening to the radio, my real job, my day job is I actually work full time in one of the largest cancer centers in the country, in the world, actually. As a diagnostic and interventional radiologist with special training in breast cancer imaging. Hmm. So that's what I do. I try and find breast cancer at the earliest possible stage when it's the smallest and most easily to treat.
Well, and we've learned a lot, I guess, over the last 50 years in particular about breast cancer and how important that early intervention is. But let's talk about a more recent time period, and that is just with what happened over the last 18 months to 2 years. What is the picture of breast cancer in America right now in terms of how it's being approached by both the medical profession and also the consumers?
COVID-19, unfortunately, I know we're not talking about COVID, but it's negatively influenced cancer screening, leading to an estimated deficit of 3.9 million breast cancer screenings among U.S. adults alone. I mean, think about that. 3.9 million people did not come and get their mammogram because they're more afraid of COVID than they were of cancer.
Well, and I know that cancer has kind of a different psychology around it anyway. I mean, and Nicole, on some level, it makes a lot of sense. Nobody wants to learn of the fact that they may have it. So there's something in our like normal just mental self-awareness that I don't want to mess with that right now. But that's really fatal if we give into it, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Listen, a lot of people don't want to go and get their cancer screenings. One, the anxiety associated with it, you know, because when you go in for a cancer screening, you're healthy. I give cancer diagnosis every single day to healthy people. I'm not like a primary care doctor where people come to me when they're sick.
Right.
And then I give them medicine and they feel better. They come to me feeling great. And I tell them they have cancer, and now they're going to undergo treatment that's going to make them sick. I mean, it's kind of twisted when you think about it.
Right.
But here's the thing, and this is why it's important, because early detection truly saves lives. And when it comes to breast cancer specifically, the 5-year survival rate of a woman who's diagnosed with the earliest stage of breast cancer, stage 1, is 99%. When that cancer has become more advanced and it has gone to distant parts of the body, the 5-year survival rate is now 28%.
Wow.
99% to 28%. That's a big difference. That's a huge difference when you're talking about young women with, say, young children at home or who have older children who are getting ready to get married. And I can tell you that 1 in 6 breast cancers actually occur in women who are in their 40s. And the years of life lost to breast cancer are highest for women in their 40s.
Yeah. Well, this is bringing back a lot of personal for me because my mom was exactly 47 when she passed away from breast cancer, and she was diagnosed at 45. And this was, goodness, 1980s when she was diagnosed and underwent treatment. But from that time, and she did... I'll never forget, Nicole, the day she was diagnosed, the very first time, she came home with a pile of books from the library, and she started just reading everything she could about breast cancer and cancer in general and, you know, kind of how to approach it. And I remember she put us on this health arc within our household. It wasn't that we ate terribly before, but she got rid of all processed foods. Every can and box of artificial something in the house went away. Most white flour went away. Most white sugar went away. And she got us on probably the healthiest track that she could find, you know, to be aware of at that time with what the nutritional information said. But it still didn't. And she was given about 6 weeks. She lived about 2 years. So it didn't, you know, ultimately defeat the cancer. But I guess there's a lot that when you get diagnosed, that if you take it seriously, that you can still see a lot of life from, and particularly now that the technologies of both detection and cure or treatment have changed so much in the last 40 or 50 years.
So undoubtedly, and we have continued to see deaths associated with breast cancer decline every single year because we continue to improve our technology with early detection as well as our treatments.
Yeah.
But something that you mentioned that's very interesting and that I talk about in my first book, Make America Healthy Again, is why does it take a cancer diagnosis for someone to say, I want to live healthier?
Right.
And I ask myself that every single day, because when I give someone a cancer diagnosis, that's the first thing that they want to say. And here's the thing. First of all, the most common risk factor for breast cancer is being a woman and getting older. We can't do anything about that. So unfortunately, we have a high risk of breast cancer. 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer. But there actually are some ways you can lower your risk. 40% of all cancers, not breast cancer, but all cancers, potentially could be prevented through lifestyle changes. And that doesn't mean being a fitness guru or following a strict paleo or plant-based only diet. It just means doing better than we're doing right now. It means cutting out some of those processed foods, the high starches and carbohydrates and all the things that you're talking about.
If you can't pronounce it, don't eat it.
Exactly. If you look at the ingredients and the first thing has about 13 consonants in it, it's probably not a good thing to be consuming in your body. We're also concerned. We look at if a pool is like a little murky or green, we're like, oh, I'm not going to go in that. Or the air looks muggy someday. You're like, oh, the air doesn't look so good. But yet here we are. We lather stuff all over our bodies, lotions, deodorants, a lot of it with chemicals in it that are actually linked to cancer. And we also consume products that could also be linked to cancer, too, that just have toxins in it. But again, this is not me being preachy about going out. Hey, everybody has to go and get on this major natural diet. My family's not like that. My children eat goldfish.
Oh, no, not the goldfish. That is my 6-year-old's constant request for snack time. Dr. Sapphire, hold that thought right there. Her book is Make America Healthy Again. That's her first bestseller. She's also got Panic Attack, which is all about COVID. But we're coming back with some doctor's orders on Radio Night Live. Stay here. Hi, Kevin McCullough. Wish there was an easier way to navigate the world of real estate. If only there was a way to learn from the best. Well, now there is. Saturdays at 10, our very own Dottie Herman, vice chair of Douglas Elliman, gives you the inside track to what is hot in real estate. Stay one step ahead in today's seller's market as Dottie gives her tips on how to make it through the tricky waters. Doesn't matter if you're new to the game or a seasoned vet, you need to listen to Eye on Real Estate. Dottie and her team of experts will guide you as sellers and buyers to make sure you're getting the best value for your property. Whether you want to become a real estate agent or work within the business, there is no better person to learn from than the great Dottie Herman. Why? Because she is the best, period. So tune in, Eye on Real Estate, Saturdays at 10 on AM 970, The Answer. That's Eye on Real Estate, Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock on AM 970, The Answer.
Dinesh D'Souza can teach you a thing or two.
Chanting death to America, but they seem friendly at the same time.
Where have we heard that before? Well, the first time I really heard it was during the hostage crisis. Remember? Jimmy Carter, in which this superpower, America, is just being humiliated day after day after day. Well, those days are here again.
The Dinesh D'Souza Podcast, available on SalemPodcastNetwork.com and everywhere podcasts are heard.
Want to listen to AM 970 The Answer on the go? There's an app for that. Download our free smartphone app so you can listen to all your favorite shows, keep up with us on social media, enter contests, win prizes, and even interact with our hosts all in one place. Just search AM 970 The Answer in the iPhone App Store or the Google Play Store for the Android. Again, search AM 970 The Answer and download our smartphone app today. That way, you can take us wherever you go.
If you're in HR, you're probably wearing a lot of hats. Recruiter, team builder, trainer, mediator, policymaker, and of course, paper pusher. But not anymore. Bamboo HR is the number one HR software for small and medium businesses. It manages all your employee data easily and automates countless tasks so you can focus on people, not paperwork. Bamboo HR frees you from spreadsheets so you can do your real job, creating a great place to work. If the data shuffle and paperwork mountain have you ready to hang up all your hats, you're ready for Bamboo. If you handle HR records and paperwork, Bamboo HR is a dream. Let us free up your time and put your days of pushing paperwork behind you so you can focus on the people and making your company a great place to work for everyone. Try PC Magazine's top pick for HR software free today. Just go to BambooHR.com/HR. This is a limited offer, only available to radio listeners at BambooHR.com/HR. That's bamboohr.com/HR.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Carl Jackson is next on AM970, The Answer. Once again, from New York, here's Radio Night Live and Kevin McCullough.
We're speaking with Nicole Saffire in her original book, her first bestseller, Make America Healthy Again, is still available on Amazon. And her newest bestseller, Panic Attack, which deals exclusively with COVID and the manipulation of the public messaging and even the manipulation and I would say abuse of science in some regards to the narrative of how COVID came about and what it means and how it has been responded to is also on sale. And I would encourage you to check that out as well. And Nicole, as you know, because you started this evening with us a number of months ago, we like to give some doctor's orders here at the end of the show. And I'm curious if you have, since it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, maybe two or three suggestions that might be helpful along those lines, even for men in women's lives. What can we do to help the women in our lives that we love so much?
Well, absolutely. And as I said, 1 in 8 women get breast cancer. Well, 1 in 800 men get breast cancer, too. So let's not forget the men. And 1% of all breast cancer diagnosed is actually in men. The thing that I say most, first and foremost, is you know your body better than anyone else. If you notice any changes to your chest area, whether you feel a lump, the skin, anything of the sort, go talk to your doctor. Hmm. Don't just pass it off as nothing, because it may be something. And the earlier you get it checked out, the better your chance of surviving from it if it turns out to be a breast cancer. And I encourage people to all women to get their screening mammograms. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it can cause anxiety, but early detection truly saves lives. And lastly, there are things we can do to lower our chance of breast cancer and other cancers and cardiovascular disease. And with it, it starts with eating a little bit healthier and getting your body moving just a little bit more. That doesn't mean you have to go and buy a Peloton or a gym membership. It just means get yourself moving. If you sit sedentary all day long in an office job, get up. Walk around the building a couple times a day. Take the stairs instead of the elevator. Try to park in the back of a parking lot, and so you have to walk into the store. Don't use the drive-thru. Actually go in. Anything to get your body moving just a little bit more will have long-term benefits for you.
I've always loved the fact, Nicole, that you've never come down hard on the doctor's orders. You've always put it in a positive way. That if we just do a little bit more, we'll be making progress, whether it's drinking water or getting exercise or even eating healthier. You're always saying you can do it, and that's one of the reasons why you're our favorite around these parts. Nicole Saffire, working in the radiology of Memorial Sloan Kettering and doing a great job there, helping people coming in, looking at life choices every day. There'll be plenty of COVID-19 to talk about in the future, Nicole, but thanks for focusing in on the breast cancer angle tonight. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for bringing awareness.
And buy her books. You got to get them. They're both excellent. You got to go out and get them tonight on Amazon. Make America Healthy Again and Panic Attack. All right, Kevin McCullough, that's it for tonight. Thank you, Nicole Saffire. Thank you for you being here, friend, listening. And tomorrow night, we delve back into the legal matters of the day. Arthur Idala and company will be with us. And then, of course, we're going to close out the week on a fun night, Friday, with Christine Nicholas. It's Radio Night Live, helping New York come back. And we'll see you next time.